Hey, all right.
Let's go.
Good evening, Melrosians, the world over. I'm Tom Catalini.
I'm Jen LeClaire.
I'm Sam.
And I'm Tom Shampoo.
Sam has a last name. It's Hammer. It's Hammer Time. This is a show called Let's Talk Melrose. Melrose, it's a show where Melrosians talk to Melrosians about Melrose. It's fascinating. Tune in every week, Tuesday at 8:30. Download the podcast and subscribe. Give an unbiased 5-star review. Check us out. We are on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, all the streams, and home base. MMTV, Melrose, Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm. Woo!
Beautiful thing.
Broadcasting from the beach somewhere, I heard. So shout out Mike Miner, the man who's always thinking of us and always coming through for us.
I told you.
I know.
You can't get away.
So I want to let you guys know, in case anyone was having a... In case everybody has the blues from all the rain, the good news is that love is alive and well in Melrose. I saw something today that I'm sure happens now and again, but I've never seen it. There was a wedding on the front lawn at City Hall, just like a quick little like civil service ceremony. This young couple holding hands, and there was an officiant, and they were clear and witnesses, and they were clearly getting married. I didn't get a chance to take a picture because I was driving, so you can't really do that. But congratulations, Melrose newlyweds. That was such a nice thing to see today.
City Hall.
Yeah, they were right on the front lawn.
Hey, let me ask you this now. You didn't name the officiant, but does Paul Broder, the mayor, have the power, like a captain of a ship, to marry people? This we need to figure out.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think you have to... You can become ordained on the internet now.
That is very true.
Lots of people do that.
Yeah. I have
like a one day thing, right?
You know what? Yes. If I'm not going to be a commissioner, maybe I'll become a reverend of some sort. Whatever they call that, whatever I can get on the internet. Send me the link, Jen.
Okay, I will. And then you can do the ceremonies on City Hall or from a parklet with the bullhorn. It'll be
beautiful.
Brilliant.
Yes. So Sam, have you done that? Because it seems like you would be the person here who would have done that before for somebody.
Of course I have done that.
No way.
It takes like a hot second to get, I don't even remember the church of former
church,
day.
The church of Hammer.
But I did. I officiated. It was
wow.
Fine and nerve wracking, and you get more pictures than you want. But yes, I have married somebody
for friends of yours, or
yes.
Oh,
strangers. Well, it could be strangers.
That would be even better. That would be amazing.
If I had the power, I marry you.
This is the Reverend.
You can just go down the street.
Would be like the 1,000 people getting married. You know, like the largest wedding ever in Massachusetts.
Yeah. Or you could just go down the street and say, you know, anybody feel like getting married today?
Yeah. Get like an old ice cream truck and we'll repurpose it.
Perfect. Brilliant. I also want to give a quick shout out. I've recently kind of been networking a little bit and met a couple new Melrosians and I told them about the show. So I'm hoping we have two new fans, if not this week, then soon. But Rebecca O'Brien Penny, I met recently. She's super cool. And Stephen Grant also just moved to Melrose just before the pandemic. And so it's kind of hard to kind of get started meeting people and networking. So welcome. And I told them about the show. So I hope they're watching. And I also met two new neighbors in my own neighborhood. Tim and Dylan moved into the neighborhood recently. So welcome to Melrose, Tim and Dylan. So that was like lots of new Melrosians.
Wow.
This week
welcome. And look at you networking up a storm. Wow.
Jen, yeah. I imagine that anybody coming into your neighborhood, you would meet them because you're social and you want to be out there and welcoming people and making them feel a part of the
You know, I thank you. I appreciate that. I used to be, now I hang out with you guys. I used to be more than I am now. I've sort of retired. There's a lot of I did try for a long time to kind of like bring everybody together, and we did a really good job of that in our neighborhood. There's a lot of new families with a lot littler kids, and so you know you kind of sort of like pass the torch, and I spend a lot of time with you guys in Russell Park now. So yeah. I'm hoping that new folks will continue to do the same thing, because we do have a really really nice neighborhood. In fact, I met the new neighbors. There was a little like house concert in the backyard. It was really nice. Yeah, it was cool. So. Yeah.
We try and bring the neighbors together as well by having signs that say free beer, and then it works wonders.
Right.
Everyone comes running.
Yeah, or having a TV show. Well, all of Melrose should congregate this weekend, Sam.
Yes, very true. Beer. Thank you, Jen. I was trying to pull up notes, but yes, grab your umbrellas again. Because Mary Poppins is coming to town this weekend.
Not for the rain, for the air.
Just to fly over to the middle school, because it is indoors in the theater, Friday night 7, Saturday at 2, and Saturday night at 7. I may have 2 thespians in the show this year, which is totally wild and crazy. It's going to be great.
I can't wait. Mary Poppins is a Martin family favorite. I cannot wait to see it. I might have to go more than once. Newsies was fantastic. So.
I don't know all of the magic secrets, but I can tell you that people will be flying.
I can't wait.
Whoa.
All right. That's good.
So
check out Broken Leg Productions.
Broken Leg Productions this weekend. Last weekend was fantastic with Newsies, which reminds us now it's time for the news. There's our newsy reporters ready to bring you.
That's not going away.
That's a
keeper. Now, let me ask you this. Are we going to bring our special guest on board to talk the news and the rest of the show, right? Is that the plan? Such a special guest.
The OG newsy of Melrose.
Right. If you're talking news in Melrose, you're talking about the Melrose Patch and none other than King Karaji here in person.
Karaji Kid.
Mustache and all. The Karaji Kid.
All Jen and Sam were missing in that photo was a nice stash.
I took it off for the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. I always love watching and coming on when I get the invite.
Thanks. Are you going to be able to talk and comment at the same time?
No, I get my people out there.
Sam's really good at that. I have to tell everybody, before we launch into the news and the Tom Shamp rant, which we're gonna lead with in just a second, but Karaji, this is breaking news for you even. I had an adorable Karaji family sighting at Linfield Market, but I was too far away to be able to say hello to you guys. So I just admired your adorable family from afar.
Yeah,
you always carry this, Jen.
I know, I should. Yeah,
what a lovely place that is.
Isn't it great?
Like, for someone with toddler, like that's you can there's plenty of places to eat. She can the babies can play and run, and it's like super family friendly. And as I become an old fogey, like those places are great.
Yes, they are.
You guys were adorable.
Thanks.
So we'll keep it positive on that, but we're gonna lead right into the Tom Shamp rant about news. What is it about the news, Tom?
There's so many things. Well, we have to build it up by saying we were discussing this weekend the show and what we're going to be talking about and different things. And there were a couple of car accidents this weekend. We also have a discussion about Lower Main Street, what's happening maybe over there and all this. And it just felt like it was a time to see why it feels like things move to extremes so quickly. Like, why do people have extreme opinions? So how does that happen? Why does it feel like there's a divide or a rift between people? And it's growing wider and wider every single year or every single week, it seems. And I feel like part of that is the news. And so no offense to my cards. I'm glad you're here, Karaji, because you help us navigate these questions I have. But essentially, my issue is that I feel like the news, ever since it became 24/7, I feel like the news has become a product that we have to buy and be emotionally moved by. When before, when we were growing up as kids, the news was information that was presented to us on the TV at a certain time at a certain hour by guys who gave us the news. And so I think that transition has formed a product-based mindset, which is to sell it by using emotion, making us feel a certain way, making us believe certain things that aren't necessarily true, so we pick a side. And that, to me, it feels like the big injustice of what's going on in the news today. We're supposed to care more than we really should about stories that aren't really emotional to begin with, And that's my rant.
So there you go. Is this the time to share this comment?
Yeah. Wait, it didn't come
out. There we go. Look at this guy making up crap. No, no, I don't. I don't mean Karaji. But I'm talking about the national news and the divide that we see happening between, especially with science. I'm a science guy, but especially in science, the way that science is presented or misrepresented is a tremendous disservice to everybody involved. So that's all.
Now, yeah, too deep a topic for the show, I'm sure. But just to two quick things I'd say is that, you know, I always tell people, I argue there is no golden age of journalism or reporting. I mean, there, you look at the very beginnings of newspapers, you know, at the beginning of this country, there's always accusations of mudslinging and yellow journalism and all that stuff. Right. And there's more of it now, more content, more news. So exponentially, all the rest of the junk goes up with it. But also, you know, it's going to be more divisive when facts are divisive to people. And that's hard. Like right now, we're in a time where cold, hard facts and numbers and science are divisive for equally rationally minded people. So, you know, I mean, is that the news's fault? I mean, you're not wrong. But, you know, the hardest part is, you know, you can present going right down the middle for some people, but it's always going to be on the right or the left or whatever, depending on where you're reading it from. So
right.
It's just a struggle right now. But you're right and good point.
So that's fantastic. My new favorite three words, you're not wrong. Thanks, Karaji. That's all I wanted.
Also, it's possible that this episode will go down as representing the golden age of journalism once it's
there. We go.
This half hour right now
is the golden age of historians will point back.
But a mustache alone.
So Tom Catalini's next. Catalini's kind of like a middle guy, right? Like
yes.
He is.
Yeah.
So what do you watch? What do you read, Tom?
So, well,
in addition to the patch.
One thing, the patch, yeah, no, seriously, subscribe. It's very timely and yes. Finger on the pulse, very good. So I always tout the patch is a place to follow. But even the facts are spun in a way that are divisive all the time. So it just seems, I think when we were having this conversation this week, and it's like, there's never a point, nobody can make a point, and the other person goes like, oh, let me think about that for a second. They just immediately either align with the point or align against the point. And it's just, so it's like a structure that doesn't really work well for many things. And it gets down to very granular issues or big issues of the day or whatever. And that's what I was lamenting in that conversation. Like it always one or the other. I am kind of a middle guy. I'm a well-balanced, thoughtful, you know, some would say, you know, pseudo intellectual, some say full on intellectual, it's, you know, but anyway, I do like to have some kind of a balance. And it used to be, my answer in the days, used to be Twitter would be a place to go and get a bunch of different opinions, but that's gotten like kind of weird now.
That's great.
I'm one of those people who will watch CNN and who will watch Fox and see the same story twice presented in different ways. If you ever, back in the day, you could watch the original story on C-SPAN and you could literally see how it's edited one way for one station and the other way for that. So over the pandemic, I would subscribe to things like The Economist that has more of like an international perspective. Or Tom, you were talking about BBC News, which is a good one to watch. And then I have this other magazine that I've been on a love affair for years. It's called The Week. And what it is it comes out once a week. And so you don't get the daily barrage, but you get all the news of the week in one sort of concise package. And they try to represent so there'll be like a half page article or a page article, and it's quotes from the New York Times, from the Wall Street Journal, from various different outlets trying to give you some kind of a melded thing. So that's where I end up. And then I wonder how much I should be just worrying about any of this, because it's kind of too much to take on to try and find sources and analyze and think about this. But the one thing I heard on the radio this week is this is a problem that's going to go on for a long time. And we are not teaching kids media literacy, critical thinking. I think that's what it all comes down to for me. I got it sort of instinctively in the Catalini genes and also from my parents in a less complicated time. But always never really sort of just took things. You always gave it a little bit of thought, a little bit of counterbalance. Anyway, there's my counter rant, I guess, the moderate rant. What do you call a moderate rant of moderation?
If I can just let me plug one thing for anyone interested in this. first of all, be on the lookout for a growing market of people, reader, you know, people like you guys and others who just have a hard time, you know, filtering, spending the effort to filter through everything to find, well, what's the right saying, what's the left saying, what's down the middle. Just take a, what kind of banner is that on the bottom right now? if I can plug something, you know, the market is just kind of is growing for, you know, people to deliver down the middle news in a really unbiased way. And I subscribe to Tangle, which is a Substack. It's like, you know, these people who are kind of getting out of the day-to-day news business, and they're launching their own businesses on Substack. And so Tangle is one of them. And Isaac Saul, who's a great reporter, covers it. I pay $5 a month and it's free. Actually, you can just contribute if you want. And it's outstanding. And anyone who's interested in it, watching this or you guys, it's Tangle. And it's exactly what you guys are kind of talking about. And it cuts through all the work on your own. So, and also thanks to Yael for the.
Believe she's watching. This is like,
I know. Hello.
This is so great.
some new folks. Hi, Yael.
And hi, Christian, Casey. The Christian Science Monitor was also that newspaper as well. They were always the paper that wanted to produce a singular viewpoint of world news and not slant one way or the other. So they were always known for their unique voice and their unique angle. Didn't mean to go so far off track on just the news, topic today for Mike.
I think it's worth talking about. And for in-depth stuff, a lot of times I'll listen to podcasts or whatever that's not really newsy, but like just to say that like people have attention span for a little more in-depth stuff.
Yeah.
And I wanted to just, I did tout it on the show before, Mike, but the Melrose Happenings thing on Instagram, I know you haven't done like a lot with it yet, but you did some interesting things where you were like on the side of Main Street for like a 5-minute video interviewing the guy holding up like I think it's a Black Lives Matter sign or something. He's sort of keeping the thing going. And you had like a relaxed conversation with him over 4 or 5 minutes. And I ended up watching the whole thing. Like, I guess I like that C-SPAN sort of raw thing. I think there's a place for something like that. Anyway, I was glad to see you were doing that. And it's interesting to hear from somebody in the industry that the middle road sort of perspective is maybe there's a market for that. I'd rather pay for, you know, I don't know, but you can imagine a world where you're getting like a Netflix subscription, but it's the information you want about the world and get away from the advertising model seems to be part of it.
And I just want to make one more point and then we can move on real quick. But a part of this conversation came out of this idea that we have certain news stories or topics happening here in Melrose. We know the library has $8 million grant potentially sitting on the table for renovations. There's other things happening around the town. And it came up in conversation because we were thinking in terms of how even those kinds of local topics can become divisive with people. And we see that people take sides rather than listening to each other and coming to a consensus. It's more divisive than I think it should be. So that's where it came from.
Yeah. And it's something that everyone should just want to learn about. Like there's we have something on the table for the library. Like, learn about it before you form form an opinion.
We
can sort of talk about what you think. We talked about it a little bit last week. I'm sure you heard every word when you were watching.
I had a rare miss last week, but I spent the day at the library today. I spent the whole afternoon there. Pictures and walking through with the director and kind of seeing how really icky it is inside and just ancient. And I'll have a story kind of detailing what's next this week, but and kind of taking a look inside the library. But, you know, without taking position on it either way, obviously the library is in need of renovation, and whether that's through this grant and supplemental money. I mean, the grant only covers like 40% of the costs, and the people will likely pick up the rest of the bill. You know, I mean, that's not for sure yet, but whether it's that or something else, I mean, the library is in dire need of repair, as are a lot of other buildings in Melrose, including the public safety buildings.
So Karaji, wait, hold on one second, because I have a bone to pick with you, Karaji, about a word choice. So you wrote it and then you just said it again too. You said that the library grant only covers, right? So The library grant, the $8 million covers 40%. You could say it only covers 40%, or you could say it gets us 40% of the way there. So
You're right. I think, and you know, there's obviously an argument to be made for picking apart any phrase or word and stuff
I'm
like that.
I'm just giving you a hard time. You know that.
In fairness, when the other side of it is 12 million, that's hefty. You know, either way, any way you slice it. Not that it's not worthy of it. It's just, you know, it's a reality.
I think we should be penalized if we don't do it. Why do we apply for the grant if we're not going to take it?
Well, so the
what's the penalty? Library fines? Like, yeah,
no, I mean, like, we made a big effort to put this, and I don't know all the facts. I'm really looking forward to this article because I do want to understand what the disrepair means. And there are some things that make sense, and it's sort of that was in your earlier article about envisioning new rooms and capabilities and handicap access. The need for repair is interesting to understand, but I don't know why we would make sort of a strategic choice to put the effort to apply, get $8 million granted to us, which is, you know, no cost to Melrose, and then sort of not have the appetite to follow through. And I guess you could say we've changed administrations, we've lived through a pandemic, so on and so forth. But when we were talking to the mayor not too many shows ago, it seems like, you know, we're financially healthy. So I'm always struggling to get that handle on the financial picture of what's happening. And that's not your responsibility, but it just would be interesting. It sort of feels intuitively like me, I lean towards going for it. And then also, like, if you don't do this and you don't do this now, I don't know, like, when do you do it? 10 years from now when it's in more disrepair and you don't have $8 million to cover some portion of it. Like, that's the
part. And not doing it doesn't mean you get the other things. It doesn't mean you're able to, you know, like, that's what we have a grant for right now. So it kind of bumps it up to the front of the line, because you have an opportunity to do it. That's my opinion.
Well, it's, you know, to Tom's point, it was a prior administration went for the grant in the first place. But that being said, by all accounts, this administration is, like, full steam ahead trying to garner support. That's kind of, they've been very even inviting me down today, and I think another reporter for the Free Press, I think the other day, you know, wanting to get this information out there. But you know, it's like you said, I mean, you might lean toward going for it. Of course, you have to remember now you have to get the city council. I think it's just a city council vote, but it is a super majority. It's 8 out of 11 councilors. We have to agree to, like, a debt exclusion, which raises the, it's like an override again. It's a temporary override, just to pay back the life of that kind of loan that you're taking out. But you have to sell that to people who are going to be reelecting people or electing people and stuff. And that's just where it gets a little thornier. Not that I'm, you know, but that's the friction. That's why it's not just, you know, they don't have money. They can just pull out of savings and just apply to this.
Of course not.
You know that's what the mayor's office said. Because I thought there might be some portion of it that
I'm sure that there is money. So they're looking for other sources, and they've been open to that. But it's gonna, there's no way to, you know, it's gonna eventually come down to, at some point, there's gonna have to be a debt exclusion for this. And I think either the library or the mayor's office, that someone official had said a debt exclusion is gonna be part of this.
It's just interesting, as the casual viewer, cursory, you know, review of this information. We just had a pandemic, a fiscal year in the pandemic, to which we ended up with $5 million in extra cash on the table. So we underspent the budget by $5 million. And that's kind of what you want to do. That's what gives us the good bond rating if we want to do a debt exclusion and all that. And then we had $8 million coming in for something from the federal relief fund, and it wasn't clear where that's going. So the average guy like me sort of feels like there's, you know, if we look in the couch cushions and whatnot, like, there's probably something laying around to take the edge off, even if you do have to take the edge. And I'm also saying this, you know, I'm sort of leaning that way. I'm just gonna tell you where I'm leaning, where I'm not sort of yet informed and not really looking at the sort of full picture of the financial reality.
You know, if you're a firefighter, maybe, and you're saying, hey, there's change in the cushion over there for the new library, but we've been in a, you know, asbestos ridden kind of, you know, place that's falling apart for years, and how many times have we been told to hold off, or the police building? And you know, it's if you take, it's not as simple, not that you're offering that it is, but it's not as simple as taking everything we can get and just putting it towards something. All that pie gets split up into so many different pieces.
What I had heard is on one of the capital plans that this was prioritized, the library was prioritized ahead of the health and safety, or the safety building, or whatever we're calling, like, a combined police and fire. So, you know, I feel like that had been adjudicated to some extent. But yeah, I don't know. I'll look forward to the reporting.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean that work can't still be going forward on those buildings.
More than one thing.
Well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Because right. It's not just about like when you have the money. There's planning and studies and all kinds of things that can be going forward to be so that we're ready for police and fire infrastructure. Also, like we can do, yeah, to Sam's point, you can do more than one thing at a time.
And you need them, right? Because
yeah.
Oh,
there are car accidents. So James Golden here, I clipped this one from the patch story, as his car flip. And then, of course, on if you're going 93 south in Boston by Roosevelt Circle.
I didn't see that one, yeah.
Yeah, I took that on the way home.
I took one with my arm hanging out the window, taking one.
I was going to say, you guys can't be taking pictures when you're driving. That's probably what those people were doing.
Oh, no. If you've ever driven this route, there's quite a bit of stopping as well as driving.
Okay, I'm just saying.
Yeah. This was around the corner from my house. I heard this car go speeding down the street. Stop sign coming down this way around this corner. Somehow took out a stop sign here and hit the wall here. Fortunately, nobody hurt. That was a scary one.
There's a lot of kids on that street.
This one looks crazy. The car flipped upside down and took out a tree. So, Mike, what's going on? Explain these, please.
Have you guys talked about the Main Street kind of reimagining down there?
We have that coming up.
Yeah, that's
leading. This is the big lead-in.
That was a segue to like get the cars off the bike ped. Get the cars off the road.
Well, I can't help you with the reason, but they're definitely looking to make things more. You know, I'll let you lead into the Main Street thing here, but they're looking to make things more people friendly.
Yeah.
Right. And what do they call that? Traffic calming measures. I got in a fight with Niall Fuentes an episode or two ago about that. Traffic calming measures.
That cars on the side will slow things down. Yeah. But I was telling, I think I've said the story probably 50 times, but in our first year here in Melrose, both my husband and I were first responders to car rollovers in two separate incidents. It was, we were like, what is happening here? Like, why are there so many rollovers? But it's quite a thing. And I think in both situations, it was because there was a car parked on the side of the road that they had clipped. And then the car flipped. Both of them had the car outside.
I hope Niall's watching tonight. That's the counter argument.
Yep.
I'm sure he'll pipe up. I haven't seen him on there yet. What I understand about this initiative that I kind of like, again, you might want to put the ticker up that this may or may not be actual facts, but the way I understand it is there's sort of an opportunity to kind of test it out. Like that roadway is going to need repaving and things like that. So we can put up temporary striping and temporary bike lanes and things like that to see how it works and just kind of study how it's used before we pave it over permanently. Is that more or less?
Yeah.
And we're talking lower Main Street.
Wyoming down to Oak Grove.
Yeah. Which needs. Right. Yeah. So. Yeah.
Can I say like how lucky the city is to have, so many different people in it, but the Ped Bike Committee, the pedestrian bicycle committee is like as active and you know, they're not a fully volunteer committee.
Yeah.
It is as active and they advocate for everyone when it comes to that stuff. And they're super knowledgeable and stuff. So, you know, they've been a big part of this, but to what Jen was saying, we have a couple months here to fool around with what we like. You know,
try it out. Yeah.
You're going to just have one side, you know, there's only going to be parking on one side of the street for a little bit. It's going to be, you know, a bicycle lane here and there. And you know, before they finally pave it in the fall, they'll kind of decide what they like going long term. So it was really important for people. I think the link is there in the chat to go to tomorrow's meeting.
Yes.
Learn about this. And you can also, obviously, you know, give your input and what you want to see, what you don't want
to see. Talk about your experiences down there. I noticed that the street gets, after you cross Wyoming and you head down that way, the street gets really, really wide.
Like twice as
actually.
Wide.
It's super, super wide. Yeah. So, so you could actually just have parking one and like have a really dedicated bike lane. There's plenty of room, which is kind of,
What do you think they're going to allow the parking on, Jen? East side or west side?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if I have to think about if I have an opinion on that also. I don't know anything.
I haven't read the article, but I bet the East Side gets it nice and neat and clean. And the West Side gets gets all the parking.
Well, okay. That's where our Buy Nothing groups also divide.
Right. So down Main Street. I've never had to park down there in my whole life, so I don't know why you need parking on both sides anyway. So I personally like the idea. A dedicated bike lane, that sounds great. It's going to make it a lot easier to get to Oak Grove. I don't want cars in the way.
But it's pretty dangerous to even cross, and there aren't enough crosswalks all the way down. So
yeah.
They'll add crosswalks. Either way, they're adding crosswalks. That seems to be
good. That'll be helpful, too, because it is really hard.
We should at some point see if we can get have our old friend Jeff Parenti back on and talk about traffic. Mm-hmm.
I'm a fan of the bump out. You know what I mean? You bring the curb out for like a crosswalk. And that's what I was saying down at the bottom of my street with that car was, if you brought that out and made it greater than a 90-degree turn, you wouldn't be able to even attempt like that kind of sweeping turn this guy did. So I felt like an old timer was down there grousing with the neighbors earlier today. And I felt like an old timer because I was like, do you remember when Ravine Road before they reconfigured it? And do you remember down Pleasant and Washington Street before they did the thing? So I'm like the little old grumpy man of the neighborhood.
Craig Mollet, one of our watchers and fans, Craig Mollet says, I don't know what that means, inboard of parking.
No, it's a technical term.
What does that mean?
Where you see in Boston where there's a lane of cars, then there's a bike lane, then there's the curb, and then there's the parking meter. Is that what that is?
Okay.
Maybe. Okay. But I think like the best example of how you can have everyone safe, everyone driving, biking, walking, mm-hmm. is right at North Station. I don't know if you've been there in a while, but they've really reimagined. Oh, it's outstanding.
Oh, cool.
Confusing when you first see it. It's a little confusing, but it works. It can work.
Other cities have solved this problem too. So inboard bike lane, the lane is to the right.
I guessed right.
You're so smart. Well, you are a scholar.
I'm a pseudo intellectual. I told you. Reason that out live on the air.
Some of these things may or may not be true.
You also pointed out there's enough room that you could do that both sides. So, which makes sense because you know if you're getting to work and coming home, you have the lane. Coming and going would be awesome. So I say it's a great opportunity for us to try it out, you know, stripe it out, try it out, and see how it works. I can't see why it wouldn't. So,
and Craig, let us know when you have events down there, what we should bring, how many wheels, how many kids, and we'll make a thing of this.
Yeah. Yep. So, we've got, where is it? Which parklet? We've got two other quick things to cover. The first is there was an announcement from those public schools that they have hired the two new director positions that they were interviewing for. Melanie Acevedo, who was one of my kids' teachers in
elementary school. She's taught all three of mine.
Yeah, she's great. We love her. Melanie Acevedo is going to be the director of personalized learning. And Steve Black is going to be the new director of visual and performing arts and also the secondary level social emotional specialist. So I love both of these additions to the school. Super, super important. Welcome both of them. Or congrats, Melanie, because she's Ms. Avedo. She's been here and I like her a lot. And welcome to Melrose, Steve Black. It's great.
Yeah, he's point 0.6 of Steve is the visual and performing arts, and 0.4 is social emotional specialist.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
However they do that budgeting, it was interesting, a little way to slice it. So it's slightly more than half your time is going to spend directing things.
It takes time to tune the instruments and stuff, so
that's right.
Awesome. And then lastly, the farmers market is having their urban farm tour coming up this Saturday, the 24th, from 10 to 1 p.m We were just saying earlier that none of us have been to this yet, but it looks like from the pictures I've seen before and the ones that they're promoting now, it looks like it's pretty cool. Basically you go around to neighbors and check out their farms and chickens and goats.
But what about like vegetables? Can I see some tomatoes on this tour, or what about bees? Are people doing beekeeping?
Beekeepers.
Is that bees?
I believe tomatoes are fruits, Tom. I think they're fruits.
A farm can have fruits. We could have apples. We could have pears. We could have
tomato orchard. I'd love to see it actually, because you guys have been back here, you know, but we've basically taken away the entirety of our backyard, and so now we there's really not room. But that is the whole point of urban gardening. The plots are small in Melrose, so you're not going to have a ton of space. But you know, you can a lot of people I think like container garden and stuff like that. So I would love to see it, so I can learn how to do a better job with the very limited space that I've now given myself.
So what happened?
Hardscaped most of my backyard.
So I work near the Fens in Boston, and if you cut through there, there's a whole like public garden thing where everybody has a little community square garden.
Community garden.
Is that what it's called, Tom? So there's dozens and dozens of them, and they're beautifully kept and maintained. So the people who are in sort of like dense housing can go out and do that now. Wasn't that many years ago we had one of those in Melrose? Does anybody know if that's still around? Is it still around?
I think over behind Whole Foods by Anton's Cleaner. Isn't there still one?
I think that's where it was. I don't know. I haven't been, so I didn't know if it was
still. I think so, but again, this may or may not contain facts. I don't know.
Behind the Anton's Cleaners back in there, like, because there's a Franklin field back in there. There's like a soccer field and all that back there.
I think they took part of that field.
I think there's a space back there. Karaji, let us know.
Behind Kennedy's. Yep. Craig says yes, behind Kennedy. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, there we go.
That's what I thought.
Yes. All right.
See, you should have just come on the show. Molway.
Yeah. Franklin Field. All right. So, Mike, what did we miss this week?
Yeah.
What have we not talked about that we should be talking about?
So much of my week was derailed by the 93 crash yesterday. Mm-hmm. That kind of shifted my duties. I'm a little slower to the everything that's hot right now, but I mean the 93 crash is huge for people who you know, Roosevelt Circle. I just wrote a story. I mean it's going to be closed for partially closed for up to 8 months. I mean you're talking next spring.
Wow.
And that's really for a lot of people, not the only in and out of Melrose to the interstate, but it's one of like two with you go up to Stoneham. For people who are going back into the office and stuff, I mean just strap up for a bit. It could be a while.
Yeah, wow, because in September, a lot of Boston businesses are that sort of callback is kind of around September or post Labor Day. And then our Steve Cazella is doing this whole Mass Reboot podcast. And you look at some of the stuff they're talking about over there, and the ridership on the T, and I guess in particular the commuter rail, is low and expected to stay low. And our friend Eugenia, we were talking about this a week or two ago, was sending some photos from a recent ride in the Orange Line. And it was just shockingly familiar with like rain leaking
water
in,
dripping,
just the nasty old cars, and the cars that we waited a decade for derailed or whatever they had some problem with, and they've already been off for like I don't know a year, two years, whatever. This is like pre-pandemic, I think they started having problems. So
they pulled all of them Roosevelt, off, I think, a few months ago. Sorry.
Yeah, to have that. Well, my sense of time is totally. Totally different. I only know it's Tuesday night because we're here on the show.
And the other thing that happened last night, I'm trying to see the name of it right now. I forget. I wrote down some notes, but Central Terrace Alleyway.
Alleyway,
which is that kind of goofy. Like I think it's in between the Y and like Rising. It's that little alleyway, and there's actually a house if you go all the way down.
Yeah.
There's a resident who lives. I guess their address is there. They accepted. I think it's. I want to say you might need to run the facts in here because I'm just reading off some spotted notes. But
isn't that helpful?
It is. It looks like they're gonna put a big mural in there. They're gonna finally bring the curb up so people stop mistakenly driving down there, and then get rid of like the fake flowers there that kind of tell people not to. They're gonna put outdoor seating there.
Nice.
And I think it's gonna be maybe Rising Eagle. So they have to talk to some of the stakeholders there, but they're ready to kind of beautify that little area and make it useful as opposed to just kind of. You know what it is now.
Yeah, nice. Sounds great. There's several little spots like that we could be doing with. But that's a great spot. I know the one that you love right by the bank, which has even more space. But we'll take this one while we can get it.
Yeah, no kidding.
Believe so. There's a little bit of additional funding I think that's going to help with like the lighting and the seating and some of the curb infrastructure that you're talking about. I believe the mural was already slated as part of the public art and wayfinding thing, but it just hadn't been completed because of the rest of it that they were looking at, I think. So that's already kind of ready to go in, or there's someone for that, I believe.
I wish I didn't miss last week. Did you guys touch on the liquor commission kind of giving the thumbs down to some of the Santa Fe burrito stuff?
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about that too, because and I was actually reading through some of the liquor laws. Like, I'll see if I can pull this up. But it was just an interesting article, and I think you had covered in there about, like, you have to use like solid plates and silverware to be in order to be served alcohol. So we talked about that, and I was trying to figure out, like, what can we do? So you can see in the liquor laws, like, there are some restrictions that they're talking about. So I don't know if it's the commission, like, some things they have discretion for, some things they don't. Like,
well, that's regulatory, and that is what it is. A lot of people, including myself, were a little confused about not being able to see the bottles from the street. You're not allowed to see liquor bottles from the street. That's nowhere to be found.
That's not in there, right?
But, you know, they're going through a complete overhaul of all these liquor laws. I mean, I actually just got a massive dump of correspondence from all the liquor commission, all the people who are on the mayor's advisory committee to liquor sales. I made a public records request, and they just sent me like a million emails, and I'm kind of thumbing through. Cool. You know, they're gonna, you know, there's going to be big changes coming on the liquor front either way. So
because this commission is going to rewrite these regulations and then send them up.
The advisory committee is just making some changes to, well, they're recommending changes. But then the mayor would kind of, I think propose them. I don't know if it would be a charter change. I don't know who would make the change exactly. I'm sure the liquor commission needs to sign off on a lot of it, but it's just an advisory committee, but the mayor's proven pretty favorable to these things.
But that cultivates some support. I think it goes to city council, and then I think it goes up to the state, because it has to be aligned with the state regulations.
Right. Yeah.
But let me ask you this.
We're behind. So we're super behind.
If you're selling alcohol, can you open the windows?
Probably
not. Establishment. No. Doors, except upon entry and exit, and windows of the licensed premises shall remain closed at all times unless otherwise authorized by the commission. So the commission actually has a little leeway, but, like, this is the stuff that's, like, written in there. Like, keep the windows closed. There wasn't anything about the, you know, the no sight of alcohol from the
I went to a private Christian school for college, and it was way easier to get drunk
than in downtown Melrose. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we don't even, in fairness, necessarily need to get drunk. I'm trying to make sure we sound like responsible adults.
Oh yeah, what are we?
We can talk about that in the after show in my backyard or something. But we just want to be treated like the voting adults that we are. That's all. That's all I ask for.
No entertainment of any kind, excluding television, shall occur unless specifically authorized by the commission.
I see a loophole. I see a loophole.
Yes. Yes, we put ourselves on TV and entertain everybody at the bar.
We're live outside and
broadcast the dead inside.
This is why it's so important. Like, I just heard a story this morning, maybe the city council just kind of like approved or just recommended opening up like public access and remote participation for all the meetings. Yeah. I've been such a huge proponent of that. I know a lot of people have. I mean, the meeting I went to, it's not the biggest deal. I mean, they're just kind of ticky-tacky with some liquor things here. But it's in a room, like the stuffy room that no one else is at except for the Santa Fe burrito guy and the three planning board members or liquor commission members. And that's it. And there's no one else there. I mean, we'll never see the light of day. It's not an MMTV. It's not, you know, there are minutes probably somewhere if you can request them that I can just be posted online. So you need these things like publicly available, and you need, you know, you need to be keeping aware. Like, a lot of important decisions are made at these Board of Health meetings, especially during the pandemic, in other meetings, and they're kind of behind closed doors. And I don't say that to cast suspicion on anyone. That's the fact, you know.
Well,
and there's like, well, if there's no, you know, if there's no one's come to talk about this, or no one's come to support this, so it must, you know, but that's not necessarily the real story. That's not necessarily the case. It's just that people don't have the access.
Yeah, it's not easy for, you know, someone had mentioned it yesterday in public comment in a letter. But, you know, I think the particularly disabled people, seniors, people with disabilities, seniors and moms, you know, mm-hmm. have a really hard time, or just people coming back in from work, having a really hard time, and they're disproportionately impacted by not being able to get there and say, hey, I have something I want to say, or I want to learn more about this. It's not that easy, you know, and it's much easier just being able to turn on. It's 2021. There's no reason. Melrose does have the money. And I think the will is there, and the community engagement's there to open this up to everyone. I'm not just saying that to someone who wants to watch meetings at home. I mean, it's really important for people.
I want to watch them at home or from wherever I am, and I want everybody else to be able to too. And I have felt like some things were, you know, a little bit tucked away that shouldn't have been. And maybe that's just the inertia of the way things are done. But one of the hot stories, Mike, when we first had you on the show, was this whole overnight parking ban thing that was this contested thing. And if you look through, you can dig through the minutes and find the history and see what was discussed there. And it was sort of like, I got the feeling that it wasn't the folks in the conversation weren't necessarily looking for the full public engagement, which proved to be dicey. But I feel like
they got it
came out in the way that it did, it was probably 10 times worse than if it had been sort of, if your orientation had been towards the engagement. Now, there's also fellow citizens who we love in this town who sort of maybe over engage or have a tendency to, you know, monopolize conversations, or so, like sometimes it's not always productive. So I understand like there's a need for balance. So like, you know, so like many intellectuals, I can admire the complexity and the nuance of this, but I have no solutions to offer.
And with that,
we've gone on a long time.
With that, I think we'll dance it off. But Mike, thanks for joining
thank
us this
so
week.
Much.
Yeah, guys, thanks so much.
It's been too long.
Great to have you on, Mike.
I appreciate it. I love watching, and you guys, you know, talking about public access and information for people. You guys do it. Absolutely great service having this show.
Right.
Well, thank you.
We'll quote you on that.
I already
have. You're not wrong, Tom. So I'm going to go with that.
If I can borrow the ticker for some of my stories, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, sure.
Here's one coming up. I'll play it with a theme song.
All right, here we go. We'll see you around town.